From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
All right, welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Rob Parker. Coming up, we got a big show for you today. Former third baseman Charlie Hayes, yes, the guy who won a World Series with the Yankees in 1996, he'll join us. Plus, baseball columnist Scott Miller from the Bleacher Report. That and much more. Let's go.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Baseball and its unwritten rules. I know the Fernando Tatis Jr. situation is on everybody's mind. We're going to talk with our former Major League third baseman, Charlie Hayes, about that situation. But let me go over some of the unwritten rules, and I wonder if you even know some of them, you agree with some of them. There's all kinds of stuff out there. The one that I do buy into is you don't bunt during a no-hitter, especially like in the ninth inning if the game is basically out of reach. You should have to hit to get your way on. I do believe in that. There are other ones like never make the first or third out at third base. Have you heard about that? That's another one that's out there. The center fielder gets the ball. You know, he's supposed to have free reign out there. He's supposed to be able to grab everything that is in his reach. All of the talk about you don't swing at the first pitch from a pitcher who has allowed back-to-back home runs. So if you're the third batter, you're not supposed to do it. There's all these different things that are out there, and people, some people agree with, some people don't. You don't steal bases if you're up by a large margin. So that's another one. You don't show up the pitcher. You don't show up the fielders. These are all the ones that people are out there as far as unwritten rules in baseball. Baseball has changed. Newer players have come in. We've seen different things happen. I don't buy into all the unwritten rules, but a couple of them, I do.
Number two.
This will be very interesting in Cleveland. There is a rift, a mutiny. Players aren't sure if they want to invite back the pitchers, Clevinger and Plesek, back to the team. Two of their best pitchers in the best rotation in baseball. That's what the Cleveland Indians have. Those two guys have been demoted. The teammates are now not sure if they want them back because of those guys breaking the trust with their teammates and going out on the town in Chicago and bringing it back to the clubhouse, especially with COVID-19 out there. This will be very, very interesting. I don't believe the Indians are going to trade these guys or get rid of them. If the Indians have a chance to try to win, they're going to need both of these guys. These guys have to man up, own up to what they did, beg for forgiveness from their teammates so that their teammates can once again trust them and they can rejoin the team. I expect them back on the team, but it'll take a little time for players to feel better about these two.
Number three.
As of Wednesday, the Los Angeles Dodgers had the best record in baseball. Yes, the Dodgers had won seven games in a row, finally got hot, finally after a bumpy start. And here's the other thing. At 18-7, they're off to their best 25-game start since 1983. And don't look now, but the Dodgers have a chance of making it to the World Series again, which would be the third time in 4 years, which is nothing to poo-poo, yes. But the Dodgers still, it's not about the regular season. We know this team is loaded. They have so many good players, such a great lineup. The addition of Mookie Betts only made them stronger. But for the Dodgers, it's about winning the World Series. I hate to break it to you. They can win all the games. They can have the best record in the league. They could win the division again in the NL West. They could get to the World Series again, and none of it will matter unless they win the World Series. It's World Series victory or bust for the Dodgers in 2020.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast one of my former favorite ex-players, Charlie Hayes, 13 years in the big leagues, broke in, of course, with the San Francisco Giants, won a World Series in 96 with the New York Yankees. Charlie, I remember you catching that foul ball to end the World Series and the Yankees drought. Remember that? That was a great moment, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. I didn't realize the significance of it until probably 5 or 6 years later. But that was a special moment in my career. And I just remember, I put it like this. More people from the Yankees know me from any other team I played on. And I was there, I think, a total of a year and 25 or 35 days. So it's crazy.
That is crazy. But when you win a World Series, people remember that. Let me ask you the big story in baseball. Fernando Tatis, of course, Jr., who shook up Major League Baseball by swinging on a 3-0 pitch with the bases loaded. A lot of the Texas Rangers were mad at him, Charlie. A lot of big-time players, Reggie Jackson, Johnny Bench, all tweeted out in support of the kid. Where are you on this with the unwritten rule about swinging on 3-0 in that situation?
Well, back in the day when we came along, those were some of the things that went along with the game that you were told and, you know, you remembered or whatever. You know, you didn't really do that. But, I mean, just think about life. I tell people all the time, if I try to raise my kids the way I was raised, then I'm doing them a disservice because the times we live in now ain't like the ones that I was raised in. And that's my whole outlook on all of that. I mean, like, I hear older players that played before me talk about the players now. You know, the parks are small, the balls are juice. You know, like I was telling someone the other day, they asked me about what I thought about the balls. I say, well, if the major leaguers are using the ball, the kids that are trying to get to the major league should be using the same baseball. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. The guys that are at the top of the ladder using the best baseball and the guys that are trying to get to the top of the ladder are not using it. That just, to me, just doesn't make sense. And, you know, like I was saying about Tatis, hey, listen, that's what the kids are looking for now. You know, a lot of people ask me, you think kids watch baseball like they used to? No, they don't. You know why? They can go to Sports Center and get the whole everything that happened in the sports world in 30 minutes.
Right.
You know, the kids are looking for the bat flip, what's funny. You know, that's what they're looking for. I mean, like, I see where they say, well, the game is getting long. It's 4 hours long. Well, when I went to a baseball game and I got tired, I went home.
Right. You know, Charlie, I mean, I'm with you. I say that every single time. When I'm done, I get up and I leave. What's the big deal?
Yeah, but, I mean, everybody now, for whatever reason, want to have a say, I guess, in everything. And I just don't get it. But I don't think nothing was wrong with Tatis. You know, the game has evolved. You know, at one time it probably was all the way to the right. At one time it's all the way to the left. And one thing about baseball, it always centers out. You know, like as a baseball player, you don't get too high, you don't get too low. The ones I've seen that were successful are the ones that could stay on an even keel. And that's why, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with what he did. You know, hey, everybody's trying to be that guy. I mean, that's what we make it to be. So, you know, I'm trying to get my numbers. You trying to get your numbers. We trying to do that in a team concept.
Right.
Those are the teams that win. You know, I don't agree. I don't disagree. I think, you know, as a pitcher, I see a guy hit a home run and he stands there and watches it or whatever. Well, back in the day, we handled that ourselves on the field. And that was all that was made of it. But now, you know, like I tell people, reporters got to do their job. We got to do our jobs. No matter how good I play, how bad I play, if a reporter wanted to talk to me, I stood there and dealt with it. I remember my first gang in the big league. It wasn't my first game, but when I was in Philadelphia, I think I made four errors, walked, and got picked off. And after the game, I was in, and Dickie Nose come up to me, and he said, "Hey, man, you know, don't go nowhere. Stand up here, talk to media, face them." You know, you learn that kind of stuff. You also hear about, you know, you don't steal up by 10 runs and this and that. And I mean, just everything about baseball has changed from when I played. But I'm a fan about with the old and with the new. I mean, and with everything, keep it in perspective. You know how everybody say have the right to say whatever they want to say. Well, I think that's some of the problem. Maybe that thing needs to change and say, you got the right to say whatever you want to say, but when you get outside the line, somebody's got the right to punch you in your lip. Nothing to be done about it. I think that'll solve a lot of things. But
hey, Charlie, no doubt about it. I think you hit it on the head. Couple other questions I really ask you about COVID-19 and obviously baseball going ahead and playing with it. Your son is a minor leaguer. Did he got COVID, right?
Yeah, he got it on the way going to Pittsburgh. You know, and they said everybody report. He didn't have it here because we were all here together. None of us have it. And I said, you know, I always believe when they first came out and said that it was a pandemic, they canceled the Olympics, they canceled all kind of stuff. Well, I took it serious. Not only that, by playing in New York, I knew a lot of people from New York, and I had seen a lot of them in January down in Tampa when they have a Yankee Fantasy Camp. So, you know, just seeing what New York was going through and talking to the people that I knew where they had aunts, grandparents, et cetera, passing away from it, I knew it was real. You know,
would you be playing, Charlie, if you were still a player? Would you have opted out, or would you have played?
I think I would have played because I love baseball. That's how much I care about it. But at the same time, everybody has different circumstances. Like, you know, out here where we at, there's nobody here for us, the family. We've got to go to Mississippi or wherever the family's at. Basically, where we at is just us. If someone would have been at risk, then I would have had to weigh my options. But not having anyone at risk and, you know, going and having to take care of my family, then you go do it. But that's why I say, I mean, I got a friend that crossed the line, a replacement player. And I never judged him. I asked him, why did he cross the line? And he told me, my wife is pregnant. Somebody that's on my thing has cancer. You know, everybody can have a number of reasons why. And until you in those shoes yourself, you really can't comment. But for me, there's no doubt I would have been playing because I love baseball. I think that's what's my calling. And also now helping kids, that's my calling. So I think I do that to a fault, but I feel like that's what I do best, and I try to make the most of it.
All right. Thanks, Charlie, man. We appreciate you, man. Stay safe. Thanks, my man. I appreciate your time. Thank you, buddy.
Nice talking to you all, and thanks.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central, the analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Well, Rob, I think it's about time to talk about the better Bieber. You all know Justin, but his brother from another mother, Shane, has been putting up absurd numbers without realizing it's too late now to say sorry. Through Bieber's first five starts this season, he leads the league in strikeouts per nine innings at 14, which would be an MLB record, and his 1.30 ERA is second in the circuit, only to Lance Lynn in Texas. Only two players have ever whiffed more batters in their first five starts of the season than the 54 by the Biebs, and you might recognize the names, Nolan Ryan in 1978 and Randy Johnson in 1999. And he's not just striking guys out, he's making guys look silly. Since they lowered the mound in 1969 to even things out for the hitters, no starter in that time has made more guys miss in their first five starts than Bieber, getting swings and misses at an unheard of 46.4% of opponent swings. Yeah, literally half of the swings guys take against him are coming up empty. He's the first AL pitcher to strike out at least eight batters in each of his first five starts since Mike Mussina back with the Yankees in 2003. And after finishing fourth in the Cy Young voting last year, he's the odds-on favorite to be the Indians' fourth different winner in the last 13 years. Gerrit Cole and Jacob deGrom might get the headlines when it's their turn to pitch, but Shane Bieber is turning into must-see TV.
That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
The Yankees continue to win despite both Stanton and Judge being on the injured list, and people around baseball keep saying that they're a blessed franchise because no matter who's in or out of the lineup, it doesn't seem to stop their winning. JR, is it foul or fair to say that the Yankees are blessed?
That's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Some people look at the Yankees as a blessed franchise with a never-ending stream of talent. I say they've been almost cursed franchise since winning their last World Series in 2009. When they acquired Stanton, coming off an MVP, and paired him with Judge, who hit 52 homers as a rookie, everyone assumed the Yankees had the best power tandem in baseball. Problem is, neither of these ballers can stay healthy and are yet to play a full season together. If Stanton is healthy, then Judge is usually hurt, or vice versa. Judge has played 119 games the past two seasons, and Stanton just 32. Right now, both of these guys are out, along with some other key players, and while the Yankees can withstand the regular season without their big boppers, as they did in 2019, when the team lost 1,000 more days to injury than any other MLB squad, the Yankees will need their best players in the playoffs. They haven't had a full, healthy team in the playoffs since Stanton arrived. Injuries are becoming an albatross for a team that still has an 86% shot at winning the division. Fill-in guys like Talkman and Andujar and Clint Frazier are good, real good. But when it's time to go chip hunting, you need your elite superstars in the lineup. And if the Yankees don't have those guys, then don't be surprised if they don't make it to the World Series again.
Take out the paper, then the trash!
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
All right, this week's winner of Trash Talking is JSI Colts. He tweeted at me this, quote, "I'm trashing the Boston Red Sox. Mookie Betts is gone. Lousy lineup. No playoffs in sight. Now look what you've done." If you want to get your tweet on Trash Talking, make sure you hit me up on my Twitter at Rob Parker FS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the program one of the best baseball writers in the country, Scott Miller, a national MLB columnist for the Bleacher Report and a friend of mine. What's happening, Scott?
Hey, Rob. Nice to be with you. Always a pleasure talking with you, whether it's here on your podcast or on one of your radio programs, or even going back to when I bump into you periodically in Lakeland, Florida at a restaurant during spring training.
No doubt about it. We miss those days for sure. But, Scott, yeah, Let's get right into it, man. Here we are about 25 games, almost halfway point of the season. Which is the best team in baseball? Is it the Dodgers, Yankees, or somebody else?
You know, right now I would vote Oakland A's. I know they don't have the name recognition, maybe, but that's a solid team. You know, Bob Melvin is one of the best managers working in any dugout today. You know, the infield, the corner infielders, Matt Olson and Matt Chapman. Not enough people know about them. You know, teams you mentioned, Yankees and Dodgers, obviously very good. Yankees, injury issues right now. I mean, doggone, if they're going to win, they've got to figure out a way to keep Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton on the field, and now DJ LeMahieu's banged up. Dodgers, very deep. You know, I think they're going to only get better and better as they go. Walker Buehler hasn't even really gotten fired up yet.
Yeah, it's amazing. Those teams, they keep winning despite that. And the A's, I mean, this is no surprise. They've been winning games and making the playoffs the last couple of years. All right, how about the Indians mess? And there's a rift in the clubhouse. Clevinger and Plesac, you know, they broke the trust from their teammates. Some guys are really not happy about it. They were demoted. There's a question about, you know, what to do with those guys. What do you think is going to happen in Cleveland? Because you're not going to win anything without those two guys. They're two of their best pitchers.
Yeah, boy, talk about a dramatic, interesting situation. You know, you've got to credit the Indians right now for choosing the trust. You know, first of all, for putting it up to a team vote and having a team meeting and letting the players have all that input. The players basically said, get these two guys out of here. Now, whether those, you know, Clevinger and Plesac are gone for 10 days, once they get optioned out, they've got to be gone for 10 days. Whether they bring them back at that point or keep them out or trade one or two of them, one if not both, it's going to be interesting to see. You're right. The Indians at the time had, I think, the major league leading best ERA. If not, they were in the top two or three. Point is, one of the best pitching staffs in the game. And then Plesac and Clevinger, two-fifths of the rotation, you know, get sent out. I think the fact that the Indians, like I say, let the players vote and made a statement, that was a strong, strong statement. Because to your point, Rob, if they're going to win, they need those guys. And the fact that they said, look, we'll take a hit here, but you guys are out of here because, you know, we can't tolerate this, especially because, you know, making it even worse, it'd be bad enough, normal circumstances. But, you know, Carlos Carrasco, another member of the rotation, you know, just battled leukemia a year or two back. So he's got a potentially compromised immune system. Plus, manager Terry Francona has had some issues, and Terry Francona this week isn't even managing the team. Bench coach Sandy Alomar is because Francona had to go get undergo a procedure back in Cleveland for he's had some gastrointestinal problems this year. So, you know, you've got a manager and one of your starting pitchers that are not 100% physically, and for Plesac and Clevinger to go out and sneak out of the hotel, you know, and go out to dinner with friends. It was irresponsible, number one. Number two, they compounded the irresponsibility by lying to their teammates. And, you know, we'll see. But more power to the Indians for doing what they did.
No doubt. His name is Scott Miller. He's the MLB national baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. What about the Red Sox? How stinky and awful are they? It has been an embarrassment. And granted, when you trade Mookie Betts and David Price, normally that's not going to help you. But are you shocked at how bad they are?
Yeah, I am, Rob. I'll say this. When they made that trade over the winter, to your point, you know, they were going to be bad. Now, you can't trade Mookie Betts and David Price and not be worse than you were the day before. Now, I was at their camp in Fort Myers, Florida in February before everything blew up and baseball sent everybody home once the COVID-19 pandemic took over. But back in February, they were talking a brave talk. The Red Sox were saying, you know, basically they were looking to rebuild on the fly, and they thought they were going to be better than people thought. Well, obviously, that's out the window. A couple issues besides Betts and David Price being gone. You know, Chris Sale wasn't right from day one. Tommy John surgery. Go back again. I mentioned I was in Boston camp in February. When I say Chris Sale wasn't right from day one, I mean that literally. I was in Fort Myers the very first day of spring training, and Chris Sale wasn't even in camp. The Red Sox said at the time he had a bad case of pneumonia, and they told him to stay home. So Sale missed the first few days of training camp with what was described by the team as pneumonia. And then he came in and started working, and then pretty soon, you know, he came up with a lame elbow. And then, as I say, Tommy John surgery. So you lose Sale, you lose Betts, you lose David Price. Eduardo Rodriguez was then going to be their opening day starter. He was afflicted with COVID-19, and then when he came back, they found myocarditis.
Last thing, Scott, quickly, yes or no, will there be a lot of trade activity on the 31st, the trade deadline? What do you think?
I think just moderate at most, because with the expanded playoffs, 16 of 30 teams are in the playoffs, which means, by the way, 16 make it. But right now, we've got about probably 22 to 24 teams that think they can make it, be one of those 16. So, in other words, there are only five or six teams, maybe even less, that are out of it as we speak right now. I think there are not going to be as many sellers this year. Plus everything, you know, a lot of people, the minor leagues aren't playing, so it's going to be more difficult to trade for prospects because teams don't have up-to-date information. I think there will be some trades, Rob. But I don't think it's not going to be normal trade deadline years where we get five or six blockbusters.
All right. His name is Scott Miller, national baseball writer for the Bleacher Report. Scott, always a pleasure. Stay safe, my friend.
You as well. Talk to you soon, Rob.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
All right, so if you thought the 2020 baseball season couldn't get even more weird, say hello to the Boston Red Sox. If you've been paying attention at all to baseball this season, you know the Sox, pretty much awful. How awful? Listen to this. They haven't been this bad since 1932, when the team had just 43 wins and 111 losses and a winning percentage of just .272. So far in 2020, their winning percentage, just .261. Now, there are a lot of factors at play here, of course, including their two top pitchers being out for the season, with Chris Sale having Tommy John surgery and Eduardo Rodriguez developing a heart condition after battling COVID-19. But their offense hasn't been very good either. Looking at you, J.D. Martinez. A lot of Sox fans are going to point to and blame the trading of Mookie Betts, of course, and they're not wrong about this. But to be fair, the team and their new GM, Chaim Bloom, had no choice. It was pretty obvious that Betts would not be returning to Fenway Park, and Bloom just couldn't let him walk without getting something in return. He did the best he could and got back decent pieces, but it's pretty clear the Red Sox are in a rebuilding mode, and there's no better GM in baseball to do that than Chaim Bloom. That said, one of the best rivalries in all of sports has always been the Yankees and Red Sox. Yes, it's gone through ups and downs over the years, but it's been more ups than downs over the past two decades. And in a shortened season that has been riddled with negativity, it certainly would have been nice to have the old heated rivalry of the Yankees-Red Sox come September and October.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Here is why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. The Fernando Tatis Jr. controversy is the perfect example. There is no right answer. Baseball, there is no right answer. There are guys playing in the game right now who thinks that he was the worst guy in the world to swing on a 3-0 pitch. But then you have Hall of Famers, Johnny Bench, Reggie Jackson, other players chiming in saying, the kid did nothing wrong. Baseball is like that. There's so much strategy. Should the manager take the pitcher out? Should he pinch hit? Should he hit and run? Should he try to steal a base? And then there's so much second-guessing when things go on in baseball. After the fact, he should have left him in for another batter. He should have took him out. He should have done this. He should have done that. There is no blueprint when it comes to baseball and what's the right or wrong answer. It's all over the map. That's what makes the game great. It is a debatable sport, and we saw that this week. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.